All right. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate everyone getting on the phone today. As you're aware, this is a press call to talk about the nomination of Matthew Kaczmarek to the federal judiciary. My name is Sharon McGowan, and I am the Chief Strategy Officer and Legal Director of Lambda Legal, the nation's oldest and largest legal organization dedicated to defending and advancing the rights of LGBT people and everyone living with HIV. June is the month when we celebrate LGBT Pride, and this year we mark the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Riots, when members of the LGBT community stood up, spoke out, and took to the streets to send a message that we would no longer tolerate government abuse and mistreatment. For this reason, there is a particular sting to the fact that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has decided to try and force through yet another nominee for the federal bench, who has dedicated himself personally and professionally to turning back the clock on the progress that the LGBT community has made, and in particular, to targeting the dignity and equal worth of transgender people and same-sex couples. You may recall that on September 7th, 2017, President Trump announced the nomination of Jeff Mateer for a lifetime appointment to the federal bench in Texas. There was an immediate outcry about his nomination because, among other things, Mateer had been caught on tape describing transgender children as, quote, part of Satan's plan. Within a few months, enough people had expressed their horror and outrage over the notion of someone like this being confirmed as a federal judge that Mateer withdrew his nomination. But what many people failed to appreciate at that time was that on that same day, President Trump nominated Matthew Kaczmarek, who could only be described as Jeff Mateer's doppelganger. For 2 years, Kaczmarek served as Mateer's deputy in the general counsel's office of the Anti-LGBT First Liberty Institute, an organization that has been in the courts trying to gut non-discrimination protections for LGBT people, and which has been closely aligned with this administration's attacks on LGBT people and transgender people in particular. He has described transgender people as, quote, delusional, and has denounced the inclusion of non-discrimination protections for LGBT people in the Violence Against Women Act as, quote, a grave mistake. Both the substance and the tenor of Kaczmarek's writings and speeches give you a sense of just how virulently he opposes equality for LGBT people. He has denounced efforts to secure full, formal, and lived equality for LGBT people as part of a dangerous, quote, sexual revolution, which, in his words, seeks, quote, public affirmation of the lie that the human person is an autonomous blob of silly putty, unconstrained by nature or biology, and that marriage, sexuality, gender identity, and even the unborn child must yield to the erotic desires of liberated adults, close quote. We can get you that quote offline. It's a lot of words, but it's worth saying in full. Look, there is simply no question in the minds of anyone on this call, or any fair-minded individual for that matter, that Matthew Kaczmarek cannot be trusted to administer fair and impartial justice to the LGBT community, or anyone who does not align with his extreme views about gender and sexuality. For this reason, Lambda Legal and 74 other organizations sent a letter calling upon senators from both sides of the aisle to turn back this dangerous nomination. For 650 days, the American public has come to understand just how unfit Matthew Kaczmarek is for this kind of position of public trust. In order for our federal judiciary to have any credibility, we must all have confidence that the judges before whom we appear view all people, regardless of sexual orientation and gender identity, as having equal worth and dignity and as entitled to equal justice under law. Later today, during this month, when we celebrate LGBT Pride progress, senators will be asked to decide whether they will stand on the side of progress or whether they will put their heads in the sand and allow this dangerous ideologue to assume a lifetime position on the federal judiciary. While some may say that Matthew Kaczmarek has only been appointed to a district court position, everyone should remember that it took only one district court judge sitting in the same court to which Kaczmarek has been nominated to throw the health care of millions of Americans into chaos and doubt. Every one of these judicial appointments matter, and we call upon every senator to put the Constitution and their constituents ahead of party and politics. We urge them to turn back the nomination of Matthew Kaczmarek. And so with that, I'm happy to welcome a number of speakers to our call today, including some of the members of the Senate, who by casting their vote against Matthew Kaczmarek will be showing their support for the LGBT community and our entitlement to equal justice under law. Specifically, we will be joined today by Senator Jeff Merkley from Oregon, who, among other things, is the lead sponsor of the Equality Act in the Senate, Senator Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut, a distinguished member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, And we will also be joined by champions of LGBT equality in the House of Representatives, Congressman Joe Kennedy from Massachusetts and Congressman A. Donald McEachin from Virginia. And after we hear from these members, I will invite leaders from a broad array of civil rights groups to share some brief remarks about why their organizations and constituencies so strongly oppose the nomination of Matthew Kaczmarek. And so with that, I'd like to turn the floor over to Congressman Joe Kennedy from Massachusetts.
Sharon, thank you so much for including me. Thank you for organizing the call. Thank you for your extraordinary leadership at LEMS Legal and all that you and the organization does to try to make sure that our country continues its march forward towards lived and legal equality for every single American. And for all the other advocates and civil rights activists on the call, thank you for all that you do. And my colleagues in the House and Senate, grateful to be with you as well. In 2.5 years in the White House, we have seen how President Trump has launched a full-scale war against transgender Americans, from education to healthcare to housing to homeless shelters to the military. This has been a coordinated, deeply painful campaign to try to weaken and erode any sense of equality our trans neighbors have achieved in recent years. We need to fight back on all of these fronts, and we will. But in that fight, we cannot let bigotry and hate gain a lifetime appointment into our justice system. Matthew Kaczmarek does not believe in the most fundamental promise of that system, that every single American is entitled to equal justice under law. He's called trans people delusional. He has favored excluding them from the protections of the Violence Against Women Act. He's called health care for transgender individuals, quote, bad medicine that, quote, mutilates the body. Someone who believes that an entire segment of American society are worth less, that they're not due the same protections as every other American, should have no claim to a lifetime appointment on the federal bench. This has nothing to do with politics and gets back to the very core of what our judicial system is supposed to stand for and what our country is supposed to proclaim from its altars of our judiciary and etched in stone above the door of the Supreme Court about equal justice under law. Matthew Kaczmarek does not believe in it, and he has no place in our judicial system. Sharon, thank you for including me.
Thank you so much, Congressman Kennedy. We are so grateful for your leadership and for standing with us on this issue. If Senator Merkley is on the phone, I'd like to give him the opportunity to speak. Senator, are you with us? Sounds like he may not have joined us yet. So let me turn it over to Congressman McEachin.
Thank you. And I want to thank Lambda Legal, the Human Rights Campaign, the National Center for Transgender Equality, and many others for the opportunity to speak with you today. As has been said, my name is Donald McEachin. I'm a member of the Congressional LGBT Equality Caucus and the Transgender Equality Task Force. Like so many Americans, I am deeply troubled by many of the individuals the Trump administration has nominated for appointment to the federal bench. In particular, I'm alarmed by the nomination of Matthew Kaczmarek to the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Texas. It is critically important that our judges be fair and impartial and demonstrate a commitment to protecting all Americans' constitutional freedoms. I have serious doubts that Matthew Kaczmarek will be that kind of judge. Mr. Kaczmarek has made a career of not just opposing LGBTQ equality in court, but making deeply offensive and unfounded arguments in the course of those proceedings, as well in his own writings. For example, Mr. Kaczmarek vehemently opposed Obama-era regulations to extend non-discrimination protections to include sexual orientation and gender identity. Mr. Kaczmarek also represented numerous clients, such as the Oregon Bakery, that refused to provide LGBTQ individuals with a cake because of whom they love. Mr. Kaczmarek has also questioned the concept of gender identity and called the groundbreaking House passed Equality Act the Inequality Act. I could go on and on. The fact of the matter is that our country cannot risk conferring someone like Matthew Kaczmarek to a lifetime of service on the federal bench. We should be nominating and confirming judicial nominees who will protect the civil rights of all individuals rather than nominees who could systematically weaken or outright eliminate important protections. Again, I want to thank everyone on this call for your invaluable work and advocacy and for working to defeat this troubling nominee. I look forward to continuing our work to preserve and protect the rights and freedoms of all Americans.
Thank you so much, Congressman McEachin. And again, we salute you and thank you for your leadership on this issue as well. If Senator Merkley has joined the call, I'd be happy to turn the floor over to him.
Yes, yes, I'm with you now. Can you hear me?
We can, Senator. Thank you so much. The floor is yours.
Well, here we are in Pride Month, just back from weekends in which all across the country we had Pride breakfasts and Pride parades. And Mitch McConnell has his own way of celebrating Pride, which is to put on the floor a horrific nominee, Matthew Kaczmarek's nomination to be a district judge for the Northern District of Texas. It's really hard to imagine anybody who is less qualified to sit on the federal bench. Let's just take a look at his record. Many controversial statements about a woman's right to abortion, arguing that it has weakened the institution of marriage, and even equating certain methods of contraception to an abortion. He's opposed the Affordable Care Act's requirement that health insurance plans cover birth control with no out-of-pocket costs, representing several religious organizations in court cases against the mandate and calling it a substantial burden. He's disparaged the Supreme Court's Obergefell decision, upholding marriage equality. He supports the rights of businesses to discriminate against same-sex couples. He supports anti-transgender bathroom policies. He's defended discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. He opposes the Equality Act. Of course, this is something very close to my heart because following the passage of ENDA in the Senate, Employment Non-Discrimination Act, that I led the effort to write the Equality Act. We introduced it in 2015. It really kind of echoes the vision laid out by President Johnson on race. President Johnson said that freedom is the ability of every individual to participate in every aspect of our society as a person worthy in promise and dignity to all others. Well, that's the vision we're fighting for, to end discrimination against LGBTQ Americans. But what is this man's version of this? His version is the Equality Act is weaponizing same-sex marriage. That's his words, quote, weaponizing same-sex marriage. That's not the only awful statement he's made about LGBTQ Americans. These statements should just absolutely automatically disqualify him from holding a lifetime position on the bench. In 2016, he criticized a rule adopted by HHS, the Non-Discrimination Health Programs and Activities Rule, saying it was an imposition of a different morality via administrative regulation. The year before, he said that by not enforcing the Defense of Marriage Act, the Justice Department had, quote, collaborated with the adversary. So he views LGBTQ Americans as the adversary. This is not a person who can sit on the bench and apply justice with an even hand. Nobody can expect a fair hearing before this individual. There's quite a list here, but I think the point's been made that if he's confirmed to the bench, we have a man with deep, powerful prejudices that he will bring to bear on the cases before him. His hearing or his nomination vote is at 2:15. I'm just encouraging you to light up the lines as much as you can to see if there's any chance he can be defeated. Susan Collins is on board. Now, she's most often on board when she's worked it out with her majority that her vote won't affect the outcome. But we still appreciate the fact that she's expressing an opinion. We would certainly like to have some other Republicans join her and actually win this battle. So that's the basic situation we're facing. Every American deserves to live free of bigotry and discrimination and the fear and violence that can flow from that discrimination and that hate, cultivation of hate. And they deserve judges on the bench who protect their constitutionally protected rights, not ones who try to rip them away. So we should do everything we can in the remaining hours to try to stop this nomination in its tracks. Thank you all.
Thank you so much, Senator Merkley. You are absolutely right that it's not over until the last votes are cast, and the time is now for folks to engage. And Senator Collins' statements are necessary but not sufficient to accomplish the goal that we're here to accomplish. So thank you for your words. Senator Blumenthal from Connecticut is going to be joining us but is not on the phone just yet. So what I'm going to do is turn it over now actually to Mara Kiesling, the Executive Director of the National Center for Transgender Equality. Mara.
Sharon, thank you so much. This is Mara Kiesling. As Sharon said, I'm the Executive Director of the National Center for Transgender Equality. I want to thank Senator Merkley and Senator Blumenthal for their leadership and their votes later today. I really want to thank Representatives Kennedy and McEachin for really stepping up and supporting us. It matters so much. It matters to the transgender people all over the country, the transgender children and their parents who are really terrified by nominations like this. When they stand with us to oppose this and every unqualified extreme judicial nominee from this lawless administration, it matters a lot. Matthew Kaczmarek seems at first look to be just another one of the many extreme and unqualified judicial nominees put forward by President Trump. Yet, with no previous judicial experience, Kaczmarek's career consists of little more than his fanatical mission to deny LGBT Americans our rights. His dismissal of transgender people like me as delusional rejects the real lived experiences of 2 million Americans and represents just blatant and unmitigated bias. There is no reason to believe that Mr. Kaczmarek would walk away from a career based in bigotry and suddenly become a fair-minded judge without prejudice. How would any trans person have faith their case will be heard fairly in the court of Matthew Kaczmarek? How would any family of a transgender child trust their fate and their child's life with a legal system infected with dogma and partisanship by such an extreme ideologue? We're calling on senators to defend the core principles of fairness and equal treatment under the law by opposing the nomination of Matthew Kaczmarek today. Transgender people and their families are rightly fearful of what the future holds for their rights, their liberty, and their lives. Each one of them deserves lawmakers who stand up to President Trump and Mitch McConnell as they complicitly wage war against transgender people, a war that is already staining our legal system and our country for generations, a war which, by the way, we will win because transgender people deserve fair and equal treatment from a fair and equal judiciary. We start today by working to defeat this unqualified and wholly inappropriate biased judicial nominee. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mara. I appreciate you joining us on this call today. As we wait for Senator Blumenthal, I will turn the floor over to another wonderful colleague of ours in this work. Marge Baker is the Executive Vice President for Policy and Program at People for the American Way. Marge.
Thank you so much, Sharon, and thank you to everyone who's joined the call today. I'm Marge Baker, Executive Vice President at People for the American Way. Along with our 1.5 million members around the country, we work to build a democratic society that implements the ideals of freedom, equality, opportunity, and justice for all. To that end, we advocate for the nomination of fair-minded judges whose records demonstrate an understanding that the law and the Constitution serve the interests of all of us, not just the privileged and powerful. Simply put, Kaczmarek does not meet that test by any possibility. He is a narrow-minded elitist whose statements drip with contempt for women and LGBTQ people, especially transgender people. He has absolutely no place in a lifetime seat on the federal bench. It's actually mind-boggling that he is even being considered for this position. His writing suggests that sexual orientation and gender identity are made-up concepts with no bearing on reality, and he clearly believes they should have no place in the law. His writings ooze with animus toward women and LGBTQ people. In one piece, as Sharon mentioned, he describes the decades-long movement to end legal restrictions on divorce, abortion rights, and LGBTQ equality as led by, quote, sexual libertines, end quote, acting on the basis of, quote, elitist postmodern philosophy, end quote. Of the movement, he says, as Sharon noted, that it, quote, sought public affirmation of the lie that the human person is an autonomous blob of silly putty, unconstrained by nature or biology, and that marriage, sexuality, gender identity, and even the unborn child must yield to the erotic desires of liberated adults, end quote. How could any woman seeking to exercise her rights to reproductive freedom, How could any LGBTQ individual enter this man's courtroom and expect a fair hearing? A lesbian is not lying to the world when she comes out. A trans student who just wants to use the right bathroom isn't trying to deceive anyone about who they are, nor are they acting out anyone's erotic desires. And this animus extends to abortion rights and the right to use contraception. That animus is revealed in his statement and belief that such rights undermine a, quote, pillar of marriage law. He rejects the legal view that the 14th Amendment protects basic human rights that are not explicitly enumerated. He rejects the notion that the 14th Amendment protects the right to abortion and the right to use contraception, and apparently the fundamental premise that it protects privacy at all. As an advocate, Kaczmarek is free to try to change our laws to fit his personal preferences, but he's not free to do so as a judge, and his record makes it impossible for litigants to think that their rights are being fully protected by a fair and disinterested judge. The Senate should reject this nomination. It should never have been submitted in the first place. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Marge. Let me turn over now the floor to Christine Lucius, who's the Executive Vice President for Policy and Government Affairs from the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. Christine.
Thank you, Sharon. I am the EVP of Policy at the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, which is a coalition of more than 200 organizations working toward an America as good as its ideals. Today, the Senate will hold a procedural vote on the nomination of Matthew Kaczmarek. He is a right-wing extremist who is anti-LGBTQ, anti-women, and anti-healthcare. He is anti-justice for all, and he has been nominated to a lifetime position to the District Court in Texas. Those who serve on the federal bench should have a record of working for and upholding equal justice under law. Kaczmarek does not. He has written extensively about his opposition to the Equality Act, a landmark civil rights bill that would clarify that discrimination on the basis of sex, gender identity, and sexual orientation is prohibited. He has vigorously opposed marriage equality, even filing a brief in Obergefell, the Supreme Court decision that recognized a constitutional right to marriage equality in America. And he has promoted the dangerous lie that being transgender is a delusion. That Senate Republicans chose to bring such a staunch anti-LGBTQ advocate up for a vote during Pride Month is shameful, and it demands a bipartisan rebuke in the Senate. But there's more. Kaczmarek is also biased against women's freedom. He's urged the Supreme Court to remove access to contraception through the Affordable Care Act, and he has fought for pharmacists to be able to deny women access to emergency contraception. This may be the Senate majority's agenda, but it is appalling. It is wrong. Senators must have higher standards when it comes to our courts. We know there's a narrow path to victory in the Senate on this nomination, and we must be loud to defeat it. We must continue to speak up because our courts and therefore our rights are on the line. We urge all senators to vote no on the Kaczmarek nomination because, as Representative Kennedy said at the beginning of this call, we cannot let bigotry get a lifetime appointment on our court. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Christine, and thank you to the Leadership Conference for your leadership with us on this important issue, this nomination, and on the integrity of the federal courts more broadly. I think we have time for one more speaker, but before I hope that Senator Blumenthal will be joining us. So let me turn the floor over to Dan Goldberg, the Legal Director of Alliance for Justice.
Thank you, Sharon, and it is such a great honor to be on the phone with you, with such remarkable elected officials and civil rights leaders. I'm Daniel Goldberg, Legal Director of Alliance for Justice, an association of more than 130 organizations committed to justice and civil rights. Matthew Kaczmarek has devoted his career to fighting equal rights for millions of his fellow Americans. He is one of just dozens and dozens of Trump judicial nominees who openly oppose rights for women and LGBTQ Americans. And he has couched his opposition in demeaning, offensive, vile language that reveals his intense hostility. It is clear that women and LGBTQ Americans would not receive equal justice in his courtroom, and he has no place on the federal bench. I would add that the statements that Kaczmarek has made about LGBTQ Americans are every bit as harmful and hurtful as statements made by other Trump judicial nominees who did not get confirmed. Damian Schiff was a nominee who said anti-bullying programs for students amounted to, quote, teaching gayness in schools. Jeff Mateer called transgender children part of, quote, Satan's plan. Notably, these were bridges too far even for Republicans, and these nominees were not confirmed. Senator Collins has already announced he will vote against Kaczmarek, which is welcome news, but this is a test for other Republicans. Are they willing to stand up and defeat this nominee? Matthew Kaczmarek's nomination deserves the same fate as the nominations of Damian Schiff and Jeff Mateer. It is simply chilling to think that in the 21st century, LGBTQ Americans might have to walk into a federal courtroom where the rights of all Americans should be upheld, yet know that they will face a judge who harbors deep, deep bias and hatred against them. This is wrong. Matthew Kaczmarek would be that kind of judge, and he should not be allowed a lifetime seat on the federal bench. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Dan. We appreciate your joining the call today. I'm going to actually turn the floor over now to Anisha Singh, the Director of Judicial Nominations from Planned Parenthood Federation of America. As we've heard from our speakers, this is a nomination that is extremely important for the women's groups and the choice community as well, so we're thrilled to have Anisha on the line. Take it away, Anisha.
Thank you, Sharon, and thank you to everyone who has joined this call as we discuss the troublesome and dangerous record of Matthew Kaczmarek for women and the LGBTQ community. As it was mentioned, my name is Anisha Singh, and I am the Director of Judicial Nominations for Planned Parenthood Federation of America. Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading provider and advocate for high-quality, affordable health care for women, men, and young people, as well as the nation's largest provider of sex education. Given the unprecedented attacks on women's health care taking place at the federal and state level, it is imperative that any nominee to the federal courts is ready to respond to attempts to restrict access to reproductive health care by upholding our constitutional rights and recognize Roe as established precedent. Today, the Senate will consider the nomination of Matthew Kaczmarek to serve on the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Texas for a lifetime appointment. He is someone who has expressed such extreme views about reproductive health and rights that he has demonstrated that he cannot be trusted to rule impartially on the important issues that would come before him as a federal judge. The role of a federal judge is to be impartial and follow legal precedents, such as the well-established precedents affirming the right to abortion, and Kaczmarek has demonstrated on multiple occasions that he will not be able to do so in cases involving reproductive health care. For example, as deputy counsel for the conservative First Liberty Institute, Kaczmarek represented several institutions that oppose the Affordable Care Act's birth control benefit. In this case, Kaczmarek proclaimed successful lawsuits would protect innocent life from contraception.
So that I can monitor
to natural death, and defend unborn human life. Also, on behalf of the First Liberty Institute, Kaczmarek helped draft an amicus brief in support of a Washington pharmacy that refused to carry emergency contraception. His brief criticized the Ninth Circuit's decision in favor of Washington State, calling it an unprecedented and dangerous intrusion and a radical departure from natural norms. Kaczmarek has also blogged that the Supreme Court's refusal to hear the case meant the end of an unbroken tradition of protecting objectors who cannot abide the government's mandate to kill, cut, or medicate another human being. Finally, Kaczmarek has also done personal writings that have directly attacked the legitimacy of Roe. Kaczmarek has disputed the legal foundation of Roe and argued that the legal right to abortion has weakened the institute of marriage. The fact that someone with Matthew Kaczmarek's record on reproductive rights has been selected to sit on the Northern District of Texas is particularly concerning because Texas politicians have been relentless in their efforts to restrict access to abortion and block patients from obtaining reproductive health care services at Planned Parenthood health centers. Kaczmarek's record leaves little doubt that he does not have the ability to make impartial decisions on cases related to reproductive health care services. That is why Planned Parenthood strongly urges senators to oppose his nomination. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anisha. And so I think we are still waiting for Senator Blumenthal to join us, so I will turn it over to Sarah McBride, the National Press Secretary of the Human Rights Campaign. Sarah, please take it away.
Thank you so much, Sharon and Lambda Legal, for bringing us together. I'm grateful for the civil rights leaders on this call and the steadfast leadership of the members of Congress who've joined us today. My name is Sarah McBride. I'm the National Press Secretary at the Human Rights Campaign, the nation's largest LGBTQ civil rights organization, and I'm a transgender woman. The nomination of Matthew Kaczmarek is an insult. It is an insult to LGBTQ people. It is an insult to women. It is an insult to all who believe in the dignity and equality of every person. And his nomination is an insult to the fundamental principle enshrined on the front of the Supreme Court of the United States, equal justice under law. Matthew Kaczmarek is among the most anti-LGBTQ judicial nominees put forward by the Trump-Pence administration. As others have outlined, he has spent his career opposing basic dignity and rights for LGBTQ people. This nominee is so extreme that bipartisan opposition to Matthew Kaczmarek has developed in the U.S. Senate. Through his words and actions, Matthew Kaczmarek has proven himself incapable of serving wide swaths of the American public. A person who holds such clear contempt for his fellow Americans has no place being granted a lifetime appointment as a federal judge. To be qualified for the bench, every nominee must demonstrate a commitment to equality under the law. Matthew Kaczmarek fails a basic expectation of impartiality. Too many Americans cannot be ensured equal justice in a courtroom presided over by Matthew Kaczmarek. We deserve judges who respect everyone, judges that can fulfill their most basic responsibilities without bigotry or bias. Matthew Kaczmarek clearly fails that test. He is unfit to serve as a United States federal judge, and the Human Rights Campaign urges senators to vote down this dangerous nominee. Thank you very much, Sharon.
Thank you so much, Sarah. We appreciate HRC's joining us today. And I think it's important to recognize that, yes, you know, we are talking about one extremely dangerous nominee that affects so many of our rights deeply in such a troubling way. But as many of you who are on this call know, you know, this is, you know, part of a concerted effort to truly make the federal judiciary toxic with respect to civil rights. And so I want to sort of acknowledge that, you know, we at this point already in the administration, we've seen 119 judges confirmed by this administration, 41 Court of Appeals judges, 76 District Court judges, and then, of course, obviously sort of two Supreme Court justices from this administration. The record pace at which we are seeing these positions filled in and of itself is noteworthy, but the extent to which, you know, we are seeing individuals like Matthew Kaczmarek being advanced, the fact that we are seeing nominees who repeatedly will not reaffirm, you know, the fact that Brown versus Board of Education is legitimate and sort of untouchable precedent in terms of the values of this nation. And so with that, I think that was a natural segue to Senator Richard Blumenthal, a distinguished member of the Judiciary Committee who has been lifting up not only sort of the importance of these nominees being willing to affirm basic constitutional principles, but he's also been a tremendous champion with respect to this particular nominee as well. So Senator Blumenthal, have you joined us?
I have joined you, and I'm really pleased and honored to be on the call. You know, this particular nominee, I think, is uniquely unqualified for the federal bench. And Matthew Kaczmarek, I think, has shown that he lacks not only the intellectual qualifications, but the frame of mind to be honest and forthright in presenting the voice and face of justice. So we're going to be working very, very hard to make sure that the values of the federal courts and our judiciary are upheld. He has been general counsel of First Liberty, and in that capacity, he's challenged the ACA's contraceptive coverage mandate. He's challenged the accommodation that the Obama administration offered to religious nonprofits who objected to offering insurance plan that included contraceptives. He's argued against marriage equality, supported the rights. He's argued in favor of the Virginia School Board's policy prohibiting transgender students from using restrooms that match their gender identity in case after case at First Liberty. He has taken positions that are abhorrent, really, to accepted values in this country. And I want to thank Lambda Legal and many advocates on this call for their vigilance in making sure that the public knows about him and about other nominees to the court. What I've found week after week in the Senate Judiciary Committee, in our hearings and votes, we're seeing nominees that other presidents would never have considered putting on a short list, let alone nominated. And the longstanding rules, the norms, the practices for debate have been shredded by Senator McConnell. This week, as we vote on Kaczmarek, I'm hoping that the Senate will come together to reassert those basic values that would be betrayed by this nomination. I really appreciate the opportunity to weigh in this way on the call. I'm going to be talking to colleagues on the Republican side because I think they share the basic principle enshrined in our Constitution that everybody's equal before the law, regardless of race, gender, ethnicity, regardless of who you are. You should have equal protection and equal dignity in the eyes of the law and the government. And Mr. Kaczmarek appears to have no respect for this basic principle, and that's the reason I'm going to continue to oppose him. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Senator Blumenthal, and we appreciate your leadership in the Judiciary Committee putting these hard questions to nominees, demanding answers that we should all be entitled to get as Americans when thinking about individuals who have been nominated for such positions of public trust. And, you know, again, it's important to remember that while any administration is 4 or 8 years, these nominations are for lifetime appointments. So we are looking at 30 and 40 years of these values on the federal bench. So thank you, Senator Blumenthal.
Thank you.
Senator Merkley, who I think may have dropped off, but I also want to thank again, Congressman McEachin and Congressman Kennedy for their leadership and for participating with us on the call today. And with that, I'll hand it over to our moderator to see if there are any questions.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, if you would like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Our next question or first question comes from the line of Eileen Endofundry. Your line is open. Again, first question comes from the line of Eileen Endofundry. Your line is open. You may ask your question. We have another question from the line of Chris Johnson. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks for holding this call. I'm just going to I have two questions. I'm going to preface both of them by apologizing if I butcher the nominee's name, but here goes. My first question, Sharon, is how would you assess your chances of defeating the confirmation, and when exactly is the vote going to take place? As my understanding, the cloture vote is at noon, but then there's going to be the confirmation vote shortly thereafter.
Yeah, Chris, thanks so much for the question. So cloture is, and the cloture vote is actually scheduled for 2:15 today. And it's just another reminder that because Mitch McConnell has discarded yet another set of rules that were intended to allow there to be sort of full and public debate, we are sort of operating in the sort of post-nuclear world for this nomination. So we will only have a maximum of 2 hours of debate once the cloture vote has moved forward. So again, you know, we don't know for sure sort of how cloture will proceed. Sometimes people decide to allow the vote to move forward, but ultimately come to a different conclusion on the merits. But 2:15 is when the action will happen. And, you know, while in theory it could be, you know, this afternoon, it wouldn't be a surprise to me if the actual vote on the merits extended over into tomorrow. But any window of time matters. And as folks may remember with the nomination of Ryan Bounds, the cloture vote happened, but between then and the actual vote on the merits, the votes weren't there. So, again, we're taking the position that, you know, every minute in this debate matters. And until the last vote is counted, we're going to keep pressing our message and hoping that there will be, members of the Senate who are willing to put people first over party and politics.
My second question has to do with Susan Collins. She has said that she's going to oppose the confirmation of this nominee based on his anti-LGBT record. But it wasn't so long ago when she voted for Kyle Duncan to be on the Fifth Circuit, despite his anti-LGBT record. So she'll vote for one nominee to a more higher position on the judiciary based on LGBT issues, but won't vote for another one. What do you think is her guiding principle here?
Chris, if you can get an answer from Senator Collins on that, I think everybody on this call would benefit from that wisdom. We can only focus on the fight that is in front of us right now. And while I think everyone on this call wished that Senator Collins had the epiphany about Kyle Duncan seems to have had about Matthew Kaczmarek, they are truly cut from the same cloth. But at the end of the day, you know, we can't undo any of those votes. And the fact that she has come to the right place on this nominee, like I said, is necessary but not sufficient. And what I hope that Senator Collins is doing in this time is sharing her reasons for opposing this nominee with other colleagues, because we know that one vote will not make the difference in this particular fight. We will need others to sort of cross party lines and put the Constitution first. And so in the same way that we know that, Senator Blumenthal just said that he plans on using this time to talk to his colleagues, we certainly hope and would encourage Senator Collins to be doing the same for colleagues on her side of the aisle.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Chris.
There are no questions at this time. Please continue.
All right, we'll just give one more minute to see if anyone else wants to get a question in the queue. But as we wrap up, I just want to again sort of thank everyone for participation on this call. I want to commend all of our colleagues who have also contributed tremendously to this fight. People for the American Way has done a wonderful job producing information about many of these nominations who have been confirmed and have confirmed our fears about them. So I commend you to those resources as well. Lambda Legal obviously has put together an analysis at the end of 2018 demonstrating, as of 6 months ago, what the federal judiciary looked like as a result of Trump's assault on the judiciary with anti-LGBT nominees. Alliance for Justice obviously involved as well, HRC. So to the extent that any of our organizations have resources that we can provide to you to help you continue your great coverage of this really important issue, we are happy to share those materials with you. And again, I think the last thing I would say is something I say to everyone, is that regardless of what issue you care about, regardless of what issue is close to your heart, judicial nominations should be the plus one that you bring to every party, because every issue that we care about that is core to our democracy and our values runs through the federal judiciary, and we cannot count on the courts to protect us if we do not protect the courts. And our efforts today are part of that drive to protect the courts, and we hope that in the next few hours we will see senators from both sides of the aisle answer that call and stand up to defend our judiciary from individuals like Matthew Kaczmarek. So with that, it looks as though we have exhausted the queue of questions, and I will bid you all a fair day, a good day, and a happy Pride Month to those of you who are celebrating, and we will continue trying to make this a country we can be proud of for all of us. Thank you.